I mean, cursory, you seem fine. How are you?
Good. I've literally just walked through the door, and she'd put the buckets there already, and the glasses were there, and the peanuts. She's put a big bowl of peanuts on the table. And so all I did was say, hi, bye, for the next hour or so.
I am Ross. Joining me, as always, is Ian, and together we are attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry, despite the fact that Ian only just barely came back into Nova Scotia in the last hour? Two hours?
Something like.
Just arrived back from a big weekend away in exotic Ottawa. But the main purpose of which, the exoticness of Ottawa was not the same as the exoticness of the concert itself. Was it just the man himself, or was there other groups, bands performing?
You mean, was there a supporting act? No, but it's not just him by himself. I mean, he's got his longtime collaborators with him, Tony Levin, David Rhodes, Manu Katché, if they mean anything to you, great. If not, he's been playing with these sessioned musicians for 40 years and then some. So they know what they're doing. And of course, they had also had an array of other talented world musicians with them. There must have been 7 or 8 other musicians.
We are talking about Peter Gabriel, but he has had a long and illustrious career, met many people along the way. So I assume when you want to have people come and play at your concert, you just sort of ring them up and say, "Oi, Sir Paul, come and play backup for me, will you?
Right.
We'll do one of yours."
That kind of thing. And most people would jump at the chance. But of course, he has his close-knit musical collaborators, and they're with him on tour, and I've been wanting to see him for years. He's my number one music icon, and that's the old bucket list.
There you go,
fulfilled with Sting and Gabriel over the last 18 months. So I'm done now. I can die happy.
One more checkbox of that one. Lovely.
Yeah.
And I've been watching, for reasons or another, I've been watching these documentaries, like behind-the-scenes live concerts and whatnot, and then looking up some more information of bands that I enjoyed as a ute. And where you say session musicians, these are the unsung heroes. These are the people where, you know, you get the front person, and then there's the person who's played with them for all 40 years of their career and is still there and is still nailing everything and is part of the process, part of the writing, part of the producing, is in the studio doing this and that, and you just don't get your name on the CD jacket. And you think, is that okay? You know, if I was the backup musician to someone, the big famous, I'd have to think that I'd be fine with it, but I don't know. Would I? Would I need credit? What is everyone's personality type? Speaking of personality types, our personality type is a dark beer. So we're getting into the porters tonight. We had some choice between some porters and some stouts, and we went with porters because one of the stouts that we have that we really want to try happens to be another Propeller, and I feel like we've been dipping into too many Propeller just makes so many damn beers, don't they? There's no shortage. I mean, we never seem to run out of Propellers, so. That is just, there may be Propellers next week. Oh, no. Next week might be one of our special ones. Regardless, the first one we got here is from North Brewing out of, I think it's Northern HRM. They're sort of up in the, they're in Dartmouth. So North Brewing out of Dartmouth, which is obviously the northern end of Nova Scotia. The Pip Pip Cheerio English Porter. There are two cats wearing suits and bowler hats. You don't have your... Oh, you do have. No, you don't have your bowler hat on tonight for...
Not tonight.
For the English porter. But weighing it at 4.5%. Percent. I don't believe it says... Oh, it says roasty, nutty, and... Are you reading this third word on the can here?
I'm putting my glasses on. Let me see. Roasty, nutty, and what? Where are you reading that?
On the side. It's on the seam of the label.
Scrummy. Roasty, scrummy. Nutty, and... Scrummy.
I have never heard that word before outside of rugby.
It's what about it's scrumptious? It's short word for scrumptious. Scrummy. Oh. Scrummylicious. Yum.
Okay,
yummy.
Okay.
Yummy.
It says nothing else on the can, but on ye olde website, it says our take on a traditional English porter brewed with our dear friend Ren Navarro of beer.diversity and do better, be better. I feel like that's missing grammar, but I think those are just social groups or charitable groups and whatnot. But regardless, I ate a little while ago, but I'm having sips of water and I feel thirsty. Are you? I mean, travel wise, sometimes even after a long drive, I will sometimes think, no, I'm not quite ready for a beverage of any kind. But where are you landing at the moment? Are you up for an English porter?
You over three nights, beverage wise. I did, because obviously I was on a mini vacation, and it wasn't just in Ottawa. My friend Ted took me out to meet to his brother's cottage on a lake in Quebec. Ross, lovely. I will show you later on. I'll pop you some videos along of the lake and of the cottage. It's got 11 bedrooms in the cottage, by the way. It's not a small place.
Okay, so it's not a cottage insofar as quaint.
It was amazing. It was an amazing, and I did have a few beers, both sort of Saturday, Sunday, and last night, just a couple last night as well. So it's not as if I'm ready for a beer, but I'll have one. need to go on something of a purge, I think, for 2 or 3 days to sort of
really
help
potentially
self, help the body to recuperate.
No, I just meant, are you thirsty? Are we up for this? I suppose is the fast way of saying it.
Yes.
The head on this is coming through quite thick. This is what certain porters have been doing to us. I feel where it pours more like, look, the head itself is not moving at all, but the beverage beneath has a little bit more give.
Quite often it's a little warm, as we both know. You said you haven't refrigerated yours at all, so yours is in your cool room. Often the head is larger, is it not, when it's a little warmer? Doesn't seem to be the case this time, because this has been refrigerated.
It's probably just plenty of head on overcombination of the can, as we are all quite professional in our makeups now. But it's definitely gravitationally challenged, I think, is the polite way that I'll mention it. It smells a treat. I'm trying to think of a Britishisms here. Actually, no, I'm getting a little whiff of a bitter off of that now. It's a very interesting one. It smelled sweet as soon as it opened. There was a very sweet smell to it. And I think it's maintaining that.
Figure out the cats on the front. What's the, is there some kind of, are they important? What's the word I'm looking for? Any relevance to the fact that there's two cats dressed in, as cats, in with suits and ties on, looking very smart.
There's animals on their other cans.
There's nothing on the can which says anything feline-ish at all.
That there's some sort of theme to it. No, I don't think so. Yeah. I think of some of their other cans. Are there always two cats? But no, because we've had one with a sloth on it. There's one with a unicorn on it. Maybe someone just thought it was kind of funny. If we ever get the chance to talk to North Brewing, we'll certainly ask about the can art. It's one of my favorite parts. I mean, we do get to talk to the breweries and talk to the beers that they themselves find the most interesting, but I'd love talking about can art. Ooh, a big old traditionally different. I'm using my Tannerin Company glass for this one, since I don't have one from the North Brewing Company. I feel like I've got a lot of glasses, but still not quite one for everybody, mostly because there are 70 breweries in the province, and I don't know if my wife will let me keep 70 glasses in the house.
Many, many, many moons ago, I was smelling, and we were trying to get a handle on what that smell was, and we both settled on butter beans, and I've got a bit of that again this time. Now, I know there's nuts in there, but there's a bit of that butter beaniness as well, and there was a lot of alliteration there. There was a bit of butter bean. There was a lot of that.
Bit of butter beans in your beer?
Yes.
Be it as it may?
Smells really good.
I think it's the bitterness. The butter beans blend a bit of bitterness in the beer. I'm just overdrawing way too hard. I felt the roasty and the nutty early on, but I'm not getting much more of that out of the smell. But it could taste completely different than the smell. How's the gravity on? Sorry. How's the specific gravity on yours? I'm mine's come down. Cheers. All set. Cheers then.
Oh, very malty.
Hmm. Well, The butter bean flavor did come through, the sort of bittery flavor, but towards the end. So it had a malty and roasty. Late finish from the roast.
Really roasty. Mm. Late on.
Neat. I've never had a bitter in the middle before. Nutty is somewhere at the tail end of the roast. I'm getting the nutty flavor, maybe, but I think I'm stretching for it. But that's
The roast is right there at the end. It's yeah.
It's unexpectedly bitter in the middle. Well, and you know, kind of malty up front, but now the roast seems to be almost all the way through it.
You know, when you get sometimes the coffee grounds have been left in the bottom of the cup, and you take a big old swig of that, and you're like, oh, there's coffee grounds in it,
and then crunching in your teeth, even
big afterwards, which is half pleasurable and half not pleasurable. Way better than taking a swig and then realizing that your tea bag had split and you didn't realize, and then you've got a mouthful of tea leaves. That's not nice. But coffee grounds, I can just about handle.
Maybe I don't drink enough tea for that to have happened to me, but I certainly drink enough coffee that I get coffee grounds in the mug quite often.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Ooh. It's not strong, which is nice. Because it seems to be anyone. I mean, you've said it yourself, Ross, though. It's only 5%. This is a weak one. And of course, I'm like, 5% isn't weak. That's just kind of weak.
Yeah.
For the rest of the world, that's a strong beer.
What did I try? I tried a 3.5% one, I think, up at there was a light beer was on tap up at sea level.
Right.
It was very light.
You went, oh, I'm not having that rubbish.
Well, it tasted like a light beer as well. You know, it was light on flavor, light on color, light on alcohol percentage. And I just sort of went, yeah, I get it's one of those, you know, you want to crush six of these after you're out and, I don't know, playing a big game of soccer with all your friends or whatever. But not for me and not in the moment. But it was very smooth on the back end. So happily, these my favorite things to point out about these craft beers is it doesn't have that kind of a nasty, over-preserved aftertaste. And it's, I mean, is it the difference between fresh meat from a local farmer or meat from the store that, you know, has traveled several states, provinces, countries even, and it just is that kind of taste of, there's that, there's fresh and then there's not fresh. And obviously you have to add chemicals to it in order to let it keep.
Hip Hip Cheerio has to be the most stereotypical English phrase. when they're mocking me, say "pip pip cheerio" as a good natured ribbing for me, even out here. So it seems to be something that Canadians know. I don't know how they know it, but it seems to be, like I say, a much used mocking of English people. And
I'm going to assume television.
Yeah,
but are you suggesting that they might not actually be legitimately British with their English porter here?
Well, pip pip cheerio, clearly no one at all in England ever says pip pip cheerio. Not even the aristocracy would say pip pip cheerio. You might have done about 150 years ago, but not so much anymore.
And what about the cats?
That's it. They are dressed probably.
If they're trying to do stereotypes, there's no Big Ben in the background. There's no Union Jack on here anywhere. It's a soft stereotype of British.
Hmm.
They could have gone much, much more elaborate. Polite mockery. The truly the British way.
What do you think of this, mate?
I am starting to feel the roast flavor is too much. It's almost too roasty. And usually I like a good roast, but I like something to go with it. I think the balance went further towards the roastiness and there wasn't enough flavor up front to hold all of that, like to balance against it. And so at the tail end, you've got this real flavor of roast. I would like it to be sort of an aftertaste with more of a flavor up front.
Are you getting the nuts?
No.
Let me rephrase that. No? It's not coming through for you. Okay. I just took a couple of peanuts and ate them. So clearly I'm getting the nuts, but it's probably not helping me really make an informed decision on the nuttiness of the beer. It is quite roasty. I found the roast toward the end to be not cloying, but it's hanging around. Not nastily, but I quite like it. And it's very malty, I think.
It was a, It was at first. I feel like it's getting a little weaker on the malt side. I feel like this very similar to a number of porters we've had even recently, where it's just it is.
Recently.
I mean, recently insofar as the last couple of months. I feel like I've had something tasting very much like this not that long ago.
Yeah,
and it's that roast where I'm sort of thinking, it's a bit much. But other than that, this is a pretty well done bog standard. It's fine. If, let's say, English porters are your absolute favorite thing and you like something where you get a bit of a roasted flavor, where you sort of feel like someone's, you know, lit a graham cracker on fire and stuck it in your mouth, then yeah, that's where we're at.
These are the most traditional of British beers, the porter, as we discovered many months ago. The stouts came after the porters, and this is where they all happened, in the porters. And then, of course, we're trying to figure out what the difference is almost between a port and a stout. And quite often, there's that they're murky and muddying the waters, the crossover between the two.
I'd like to sound and feel smart and say that if someone blind poured this for me, I'd say, that's a porter and not a stout. I don't know why it sort of feels that way, but there's a
richness. I find the richness of the stout slightly creamier. Let's use that smoother. Yeah, in a stout. Typically, that's not to say that we haven't had some particularly creamy porters and some un-creamy stouts. So therefore, the muddy waters continues.
And yeah, but I usually mark them down for that.
I'm fine with this, Russ. I prefer the darker beers. You know me. So I have this over a pale ale, I think, most days of the week.
Yep.
But it's not doing much for you. I can tell by the look on your face, you're finding this rather unextraordinary.
Yeah, and it's not to say that I dislike it. I think I would just I would keep exploring. I would definitely keep exploring if the server comes along to ask if I'd like another of that. I guess that's a 3/4 there. The old 7.5 kind of.
Does it taste actually a little weak for you?
Well, that's what I mean. The roast isn't weak. Everything else is. So the upfront flavor comes through and it's kind of a, here's a little bit of a malty thing, and then roast. So you get, the roast really pushes aside any other flavor that you thought you might be getting.
So you're getting the roasty, you're not getting the nutty, and unfortunately, you really ain't getting much of the scrummy either, because it's not
I felt like the first mouthful was scrum. In fact, I'll go as far as to say scrumdiddlyumptious is another favorite.
That's
one.
That's quite scrummy. Scrumdiddlyumptious is very scrummy. So the idea then is to buy 12 of them and just drink the first swig of them and
of each one.
Throw the rest away.
No, you could use the rest to make, I don't know, fish batter for your fish and chips.
Oh, totally. Yes. Have you ever done that? Have you ever made batter with beer?
Not personally, but a roommate that I had, he got big into cooking at one point, and he would always use, and this would, you know, I'd often have the old Rickard's Red was in the fridge, and I would, if I bought a case of 12, one of those bottles was always destined for the beer for a good fish and chips night that he made, and he would make the batter himself from scratch and he would just use a bottle of Rickard's Red.
I'm wondering though if he used the Rickard's Red, quite often, beer battered fish, I will go for beer battered fish, but they don't tell you really what the beer is. Now, it could be a bloody triple IPA, or it could be a stout, or it could be a chocolatey double oatmeal stout, or a red. You've no idea. But what comes through in the batter? What flavors do you get?
Definitely a malty flavor.
Okay.
Almost always a multi-flavor. Because when you cook with things, this is where, you know, cooking wine and cooking with things like that is, it almost always cooks out a large part of the alcohol, I think I knew.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Is what happens there.
It evaporates, disappears if you do cook it for too much, for sure. Even some of the red wine, you'd think, oh, I'm going to put a nice big dollop of red wine in there, and the damn thing's all gone.
So you... So someone goes about and they, you know, they pick the grapes, they mash the grapes, they stuff it through a thing and they leave it in a big cask and they add oak tannins and whatnot. And it stays in there for months. And they said, oh, that's going to stay on the shelf for a couple of years before it's going to be sold. And then years and years in the bottle and things. And then someone finally picks up a bottle. Oh, good. There we go. I'm going to use this tonight. And splashes it in with their fish chowder. And then an eighth of the flavor is left in your chowder because you've cooked off all the good stuff that someone's just spent 3 years cultivating and putting in there.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how that works. You reduce it so much that it's just gone. And you're like, oh, that was a waste. I could have swigged that wine. I wouldn't have tasted it.
And so much work went into the production of it. Like, the beer, maybe not a Rickard's Red, but one of these beers, a lot went into this. Just sort of say, oh, I'm going to coat my fish with it and get rid of all the alcohol.
But why don't I try that one day? I think I've never tried my own beer battered fish. I've made the batter for fish in the past when I've caught some at the old lake. But I cheat a little bit and use the aunt, what's it called? The batter that, not, is it Aunt Jemima? She does pancake batter. I think it is.
It was.
Right. I've used
that. No longer the company or the mascot.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
Oh, I see where you're going with that. I didn't know. That was another one of the ones that had fallen. Okay, fallen down for the. Oh, that makes sense.
That's anyway, a couple of years ago, in fact, I think.
Right. Yeah. So maybe I'll use some other generic brand then, that without going into straying into the territory I don't want to go into. I've got a little bit that's left over, and as usual, I'll leave it. You drank it, didn't you?
I did. I finished mine. I wasn't even thinking. I'm trying to get on board with this whole.
Is it, you noob? Is this your first podcast?
Barely, yeah. It's the first time ever drinking beer. I don't know what I think of it thus far. As of now, you kind of landed. Oh no, you like to wait until you've gone back and tried the other one, and then you get to give them a little bit of a comparative vote.
I quite like it, Ross.
Seb,
we've had a number of porters recently. In fact, I had one while I was in Ottawa. Don't ask me what it was, because I took photographs of several of them. I think a couple I sent your way. It might have been the porter. I don't know. This is unextraordinary as porters go, but perfectly quaffable. I'd have another one. It's for a porter, it's 6.5, 7 out of 10.
I scored it higher, but liked it less. So strange. I have mild bad news about our second one. The new porter from Hilltop Hops. Hilltop Hops out of, where are they saying? They're just outside of Brooklyn. So just outside of Windsor, Nova Scotia, in Brooklyn, in Hants County. They actually managed to be kind of, they were almost at ground zero of the majority of the Hants County flooding last month.
Yeah.
But helping out a number of the emergency crew for that. But a new porter, here's the only thing that I'm learning. It says nothing on the bottle. It is a white label. It has the Hilltop Hops logo, which is a hop. And then the color of the beer is written in that font. So new porter, all one word. And then when I try to go to their site, you go to hilltophops.ca if you're looking for any information. All our beer is brewed and perfected here by John Peters. We have 6 wonderful and well-loved craft beers. We offer many unique seasonal and one-off. Stop in and see what's on. And then it says, here's the cream ale, here's the blonde, here's the IPA, the red ale. I think we've tried the red ale and I don't remember. But it was a little while ago. And the new porter is just sitting there. And no other description. That's the end. Then it says, we have a little story behind each and every beer and why they are named the way they are. Come in and find out why. So that's a very, very clever catch. Very well done. Very
isn't
well
it, done. Though? They threw the old line in the lake there. They just cast in and said, you've got to come in and find out because we're not going to show you. Ah, yeah, that makes sense. That's good merchandising. I like that. That's good.
I think so.
Talking of which, Windsor, Hantsway, we drove, as we were driving home from the airport an hour or so ago, hideously big black cloud loomed large. We could see it as we were landing, in fact, in Halifax. And then we drove through it, and both Ted and I were saying at the same time, what the last thing that poor old Windsor needs right now, and various other parts of the province, is a deluge, and it absolutely tipped down as we were coming through Windsor. And of course, like almost to the point where we had to stop the car. And then, looking ahead to the weekend, I'm a little bit concerned for some of those people who have already had to abandon their homes through flooding a few weeks ago. I've really got a nasty feeling about this. I think a lot of people have, that this could be pretty nasty.
Well, the thing about, not even so much the thing about that, but the thing about that, there we go. Why couldn't I find that before? There we go. Now I'm finally in Hilltop Hops, is the weather that's coming in, especially this, they've already started canceling a number of things, but they haven't canceled everything. And the weather that's coming in, it's slowly coming down from a Category 5 to potentially a Category 1 hurricane or just a tropical storm. So I think they're lessening the impact moment to moment and, hour by hour.
Of course they are. It never hits Nova Scotia. It's a Category 5 hurricane. But the fact is, there's still an awful lot of rain and wind associated with a post-tropical storm or a Cat 1 hurricane. Either way, there's going to be an awful lot of precipitation falling out of
that
thing.
It's true.
And that's the last thing anyone needs right now. And it's funny. It's ironic, isn't it, that all those months ago now, sort of May, June, when we were crying out for rain to put out all the fires, we've had nothing but rain for about 3 months, it seems to be, and we don't need it.
It's only funny to us up in the Annapolis Valley because we didn't get either fire nor flood. So I think we did mostly
very well.
Okay.
But I am cracking
the top off of this bottle.
Okay. I used the wrong glass, Ross. Ooh. I'll be up front. I used the 16-ounce with the 473, and I'm using the 20-ounce with the 345. What a new... It's my first week.
It's also your first week. Welcome to our first episode we've ever done anything here.
Yep.
Neither of us have ever had a beer before. Normally, this is a wine show.
Oh, wow. What
about our favorite wines.
What's going on there?
Wait a minute. This is the one. I'm getting a hazelnut off of this. And, a few other things are going on in here. Okay, there's some curiosity to this. Now, I will also say we've been hanging on to this one for a while. Now that I know that things can pop open in ye old beer cupboard, I am surprised this one didn't, because it has been part of the population in ye old beer cupboard for quite some time. And I don't know why we just never didn't get around to it. There's some other dark beers that we wanted to try, and this one has been the last of the Hilltop Hops in the collection. There's a few more that we have not tried. I think we definitely tried the red. I'm trying to think of what else we tried. One of the comments, in fact, that I got when we announced that this was going to be our drink tonight, someone said that the Hilltop Hops is a gem, or a hidden gem, or something of the sort. John Petersma. Petersma. Hilltop is a back road hidden gem.
Was he talking specifically about this brew or in general?
I think in general.
In general. Okay. I'm getting a woodiness to this off the smell.
Ooh, like yes.
Do you know what I mean? I really?
Yeah.
I'm in a forest glade. It's not pine.
What I think a dark beer, this has got a proper dark beer should smell like.
Yes. Like rotting wood. That does not sound good.
But I know what you mean when you're going through like in the deep, deep dark woods, and there's that damp, mossy, tree bark, deadfall kind of smell.
I'm gonna grab a napkin because it's kind of done something on the table.
it's done a wee. Your beer has done a wee on your table.
Yeah, it did something like that. It's my fault. It's dripped down the side, and because it's a dark beer, on wood, there you go. I don't want it to make any more of a mess than it already has. This is Yeah, it is. I'm like, I'm going through some dark forest at dusk, and there's lots of woodland creatures, just their eyes. You can just see.
You were making fun. You showed me a picture of a beer you were drinking where on it said, this beer tastes like, what was it? It was like a midnight paddle on the lake or something like that.
I thought, I forget exactly
what the wording was, but you said, how could a beer taste like that? And I said, we have read far sillier things. And now we are explaining that smelling this beer tastes like walking through the deep dark woods. So I think... I think we can definitely agree that feelings and experiences have smells and tastes. There is a hazelnut going on in here. We have tried a actual hazelnut porter before, and I remember feeling disappointed at the hazelnutty flavor. And this one, it doesn't even bother with, oh, it's full of hazelnuts. It just says, porter, go. And if it happens to have a hazelnut flavor, interesting enough.
Rebecca's giving a big thumbs up to the Pip Cheerio. She just tried some of it, and it got a mmm. Now, we did say it was scrummy. Rebecca, is that scrummy?
Yeah,
it's scrummy. It is. Right, it's called Pip Cheerio.
I'm still unclear as to what the word scrummy is supposed to mean. The head on this one is not going away. I'm trying to fit it in my smokehouse glass here.
Look how dark that is, Ross. It's jet black. It is. We are in midnight in a forest.
I don't still have the North Brewing with the Pip Pip Cheerio, but I seem to recall it was not quite as difficult to see through as this one.
Did it glow at the edges
just a little bit?
There is the glass. It's still dark. Don't get me wrong, but there's more of a brown. Oh, there's a ton of difference between the two. One is much darker than the other. And then what we're about to drink is ebony compared to
it's just a black hole.
It's right. That's what it is. So the woodland that we're going through is an ebony woodland. Oh. Ebony? Is it a tree? Do you get an ebony tree? Is it the name of the tree?
I assume so.
Okay. I just assume that ebony is a very dark wood. What tree would it come from?
Ebony is a dense black brown hardwood coming from several species in the genus Diosporus, which also contains the persimmons.
Good gracious.
Species of ebony include Diosporus ebonum, native to southern India and Sri Lanka, Queensland ebony, Northern Territory. Carved pieces have been found in ancient Egyptian tombs.
Wonder how long that goodness. Burned for when you throw that on your wood fire.
I don't think you'd want to. In 2011, the Gibson Guitar Company was raided by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for violations of the Lacey Act of 1900, which prohibits the illegal importation of threatened woods and other materials.
The Gibson Guitar Company. Well, they've got some money. They can afford that. They'd have paid that off, no problem.
Many species yielding ebony are now considered threatened. Okay, so it isn't a tree. It's at the core of certain types of wood? I'm more confused than before. So it's sort of prized for its luxuriant multicolored wood grain, largely exploited by the Dutch in the 17th century. I'm fascinated. This is quite the rabbit hole to fall down, but that's fine.
Smell that. Get your nose in there.
I want to get the bottom. I want to get all the good sea monkeys out of the bottom of the glass here, or the bottom of the bottle. Tip it directly inward.
Can't wait to try it, but it's like Christmas morning. It's like, can I get up now, Mum, and go and open the presents?
Go and drink all the beer under the tree.
under the ebony tree.
Oh, I should do that this year. Just put lots of cases of beer under the tree, and then you just kind of work your way through. That'll be Christmas proper.
Cheers. I can't wait longer. I'm having this.
I think you're right. Definitely a sweetness to it. Huh. Oh.
What's that?
Wood. It's just woody. That is, and then there's that funny little kind of roastedness at the tail end of it, but I'm still getting a tiny tad of a hazelnut.
There's something there which is really familiar, but not something I've tried in a beer before.
Oh, well, okay. Well, that was sort of my hazelnut flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a, it's like a, almost like a licorice kind of flavor up front, but a bitter but sweet.
I'm not getting licorice at all. Aniseed beers, we've had Annie's stars before. Star Anise. I'm
more impressed with this one, but I think I'd prefer the North. I think I prefer the Pip Pip Cheerio between the two.
There's something in there which doesn't sit right with me, to be honest. It smelt extraordinary, but there is something a little. There's a taste. It's right in the middle. Hang on.
It also has sat there for a while, and unlike the cans, these ones in the bottles, so they may have gotten touched by a little bit of light/sun.
Maybe, I don't know.
It's just been sitting there.
I'm getting a smell now and a taste of this. I'm hoping maybe it's just that it's not as good as it was when you bought it, because you did say that it had been sat there a while. There's some kind of medical thing. When I've been in a hospital, I get a smell sometimes from
wait a minute.
That they
gauze.
Gauze, right.
The gauze that they wrap that white wrapping.
Okay, that's got something
There's that stale kind of smell to it. Maybe, yeah, it may have sat there too long. We'll have to if we talk to the people, the good brewers at Hilltop Hops, I'll have to ask about getting a fresh new porter and do it proper, because I was actually a little worried, because sometimes when we've got one in the cupboard and it's been there for a little while, then I have to sort of say, oh yeah, this one is no longer available. We've held onto it for so long, it's no longer available. However, the new porter is still on the taps. This is one of their six standards that they've always got. I think we let ours go just a little bit too long, but still.
Possibly, because there is something there that doesn't belong in a beer,
medically something has gone slightly wrong here kind of situation.
Maybe. Yeah. I'll see what Rebecca thinks of this one, funny enough, if she flies through again.
But I'm now a little envious that you still have a sip left of your North beer or your North brewing one, because I wish I'd hold on to that one myself.
Yeah. Oh, it's raining again. There we go. Good.
How is it? It depends on where you go. It really is just little patches of the showers and the rain clouds and the whatnot. I should usually I've got a one of those radar window things, the weather radar, so I can see as the clouds go by and we can watch things. But I'll tell you, my absolute favorite site is the lightning map. That's a good one, because then when a lightning strikes, it pings immediately on the map. I mean, it's that quick. So you see the lightning flash and then it goes ding, but then you watch this circle spread out, and that's the thunder wave, the sound of it. And then you watch the wave cross over where your house is on the map, and you hear the boom.
Wow.
It's pretty neat.
What's the website?
I think it's just lightningmaps.org. Ooh, I have it saved. As soon as I see or hear, if I hear thunder or if I see lightning, and I go right to it and I watch it happen on the map and the circle. When the circle spreads from where the lightning struck,
I'll say it again. You are one of the nerdiest people I know, and it's lovely. I love to know you.
My nerd level pales in comparison to several of my other much, much nerdier friends. Oh, then, goodness, yes.
Good grief. Have I met them all?
They give me a hard time because I'm the raging hippie thespian of the group.
Uh-huh.
I'm not, I don't even. You may have met several of them at our wedding. You've met James, and I can't remember if you've met Tom.
So you're the hip and friendly one of the Nerdlinger crew. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. I'm the throwaway. They think I'm pointless and ridiculous in my social group. I'm the court jester of the nerds.
Rebecca.
But I do love a good lightning map.
Try this one, please. Because, in fact, Ross, it's improving. Maybe I'm getting used to it now, or maybe it's just because it was so different. I did drink a bit of water.
It was very different, wasn't it?
It's really, really different. She just said it doesn't smell very good. Toothpaste, she said. Well, I said something clinical. It was something from the hospital, like it was something a medicinal.
I think something's gone weird.
Something is not quite right about it.
This is the third time this has happened. This happened with the Oatcake computer. It happened with a friend said that he really loved the Triders Write Some Red, and now there's this. And I just feel like we need to have second try night where we bring in a couple.
You've mentioned that. Some of the things that haven't quite gone right, and we thought maybe they've gone over. And this might be, like you said, we've had it so long. You even called it, Ross. You said it had been there a long time, sitting in your cooler and in the corner of this room. Yeah, I'm getting some funny looks here from.
I was a little worried, but certainly wanted to have it. Anyway, have a taste of it one weird.
Then maybe we ought to give Hilltop Hops New Porter another go. I'll get them because I'm going to go for a drive. And you said they're always on. This is the one they have on all the time, so it's about time I start coming in.
If you look up here behind me, we've had the Avondale Cream Ale. We've now had the New Porter. We've had the Red Tail Red Ale. I think there was a blonde. Did we try? Oh no, we haven't had Tidal Boar Blonde. We have not had that. This is only our third one. Oh, I could look up in the old
database and spreadsheet and tell you in the ways of the pie chart.
Follow me, everyone, in the ways of the pie chart.
So I can't mark it. I don't want to because it would do it a disservice if it's not quite right. And not that Hilltop Hops are going to say, oh, blimey, Ian Granger.
That boo!
that world-renowned beer connoisseur, which are called, what's again? What they called, keep reminding me, they're called something I can't remember the name of.
Hang on. Because it was the Cicerone, but that's not right. And then after that, it was we were corrected on what the North American version of a European Cicerone is, and that is the patronome.
Well, I'm that, and the world renowned that
Prudhomme. My brain. That was the most exhausting thinking I've done all day. Prudhomme is the name of it.
Prudhomme. Well done. You've got that.
I'm still convinced we should go and sign up for the beer tasting course at the NSCC there, where we could potentially even be taught by one Stephen the Prudhomme Heisler of Big Spruce Brewing that closes at 7 p.m. on a Saturday. So can't fault him for that. But I mean if nothing else, you go in and you go to school to drink beer. Okay.
Yeah, my brother took a wine tasting course himself a number of years. I can't imagine. A more fulfilling and fun course to take. It sounds way better than physics or I don't know, woodworking course, wine and beer tasting course to me. So, I mean, that would then make me an expert, obviously, if I went on a day to learn about it. And that makes me then a go-to source for all reviews in future concerning beer and...
What if you went in the second week and they said, all right, everyone, we've discussed theory and practices, can shape, that kind of thing. But this week, got an extra special treat for everyone. This week, it's Budweiser week. We're going to explore all the Budweisers Well, all I did of their say, different flavors.
I did say I was going to do a one-day course. So if they're offering a two-week one, at the end of it, there's Budweiser. I'll take the one-day course. That makes me... That's all I need.
push the Budweisers to the side and reach straight for the Boddington's Brown Ale.
But you're still talking about doing this special with the generic brand.
Yes. Tentatively, I've got. I think we might try to do it next week. I have interest from one person so far. Two. I got a little bit of interest for some interested parties, and we can get just a couple of these and just hopefully laugh our way through. My biggest fear is that we try these and think,
this is bad.
It's actually much better than I remember it. What is going on? This is so strange. So.
Well,
what if Rebecca it's good?
Introduced me to Pilsner, just something she used to drink when she was in Alberta, just called Pilsner. And okay. She said it was this generic thing that everyone tried, just called Pils. And I tried it, and I thought, it's all right. It's not too bad. The same goes with, and I had Kokanee. I've tried Kokanee and thought, that's not the worst generic big selling beer I've ever had either.
Oh, okay. I feel like I've tried Molson Canadian in recent years and thought to myself, ugh. Now, are we going to cheat and serve them ice cold? My plan is to drink them at the same temperature I drink the craft beers. That's my plan. I think that's the fairest way to do it. That's the fairest way to compare. Same temp.
I think
prepare in the same way you would.
I will do the same thing, but of course my tendency is to have different beers at different temperatures. I typically wouldn't refrigerate certain beers, whereas others I would. So it depends on what it is. And you know what? I don't think Budweiser and Coors have much of a flavor anyway that would be affected too much at the temperature that they're at. I don't know. That's my thinking.
I think we're going to get surprised. Anyway, we're going to talk about all of this next week. It's going to be very exciting. You might be right. We might be hard pressed to give New Porter from Hilltop Hops a mark because it's honestly been in the closet for, I think it's been in there for over a year.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which is a while.
It is.
Now, in their defense, for being, for a craft brew, craft beer, Nova Scotia craft beer, that they say these don't have any preservatives in them, you should probably drink them quickly. A year, 12 months plus? That's not bad. Is drinkable.
Quite often they do say, this is a very distinctive pint. Well, this is very distinctive. It might be too distinctive because I'm going to think to myself, oh, the New Porter tastes a bit like the waiting room in a surgeon's...
A doctor's office, yeah. This is general surgery right here. But I think that tastes like an artificial flavor.
Yes, you know?
So I think that's what freshness would usually replace with something else. So I think we waited too long on that one, and I feel like we've done it a bit of a disservice. But I also like that objectively we recognize that something went wrong on our end.
Yeah.
So I'd like to give that another try.
I want to reach out and definitely invite
them, and we'll try some of the other ones. Much more the fresh variety, I think. I'm curious. In behind me here, it's got prices on each of them. Now, I'm not going to judge them on anything, but the IPA and the red are a little... They're a dollar more expensive than the others. So it's kind of the more expensive brand.
I can't see the prices, Ross, but can you tell me the average price of the beers there? The good beers.
16-ounce glass?
Why not?
A 16-ounce glass is about $7.
Did you turn a wry smile towards the price of the price list that I sent you from the arena that I was watching Peter Gabriel in the other night?
Oh my goodness. I sent that to my nerdy friends. I said, who's up for a $17.50 Coors Light?
Coors Light, $17.50. I'll have five of them. Thank you very much. Yeah, Ted and I had we bought a round each, i.e., we bought two beers and between us and paid over $30.
For a round for two people.
Yep.
I spent less than that buying ciders off a drinks cart at a golf course out in Fort McMurray.
I asked the guy behind this behind the server there. I said, "Do you do any craft beers?" And I may as well have been asking in Slovakian. And he was like, "So I ordered."
Do you have any hovercrafts for sale?
That's right. Yeah. No, I didn't get much response for that. So we had I forget what we had, but it wasn't Coors Light. It was something way cheaper. I think it was like $15.50 each. But it wasn't very good.
If I remember this, the messages that I was getting from you, was this? Yeah, here we go. I'm trying to remember what else was on the. Here we go. We had what was $14 is the cheapest one. You could got a Rickard's Red or a Belgian Moon for $14. $14.50 was a Heineken or Creemore. What's Creemore?
That's what I had.
I had a Creemore or a Creemore Boundless IPA.
I didn't have that. I had the Creemore.
A tall can. That was it. A king can of Coors Light was $17. But a tall can of Coors Light was only $13.
That's cheap.
So I don't know if you were buying like a big, you know, here we are. Here's my one of those.
Yeah.
What do they call them? Thunder mugs. I think they call them here in Canada. Thunder mug night is a thing. Yeah.
Wow.
It's at least. It might be a liter and a half sized mug. Like it's a big, hefty mug, and they are.
That's a bottle of wine in size, a liter and a half. That's too shabby.
Let me just. I'm gonna fact check myself on what a Thunder Mug is. Right. Thunder Mug was a Canadian rock band that was active from 1970 to 1976. I don't think. Perfect. This is not what I was looking for. To grasp or seize. Am I crazy? Thunder Mug NS Pub. Thirsty yet? Hashtag Thunder Mug by Boston Pizza, Sackville. Yeah, Boston Pizza does this. Have you heard of Thunder Mug Thursdays? Okay, so this is like. It's.
I'll ask you this question, Ross. Let me ask you this. Let me leave you with this question because I'll be bowing out soon because I want to finish the rest of this. Quality over quantity. Quality over quantity. Would you rather, if you were at a venue, okay, and you're fully prepared that this is going, if you're going to have a drink, it's going to cost you. Basically, you're going to have to remortgage your house at some point of the evening.
A $17 course, yeah.
Would you rather have a 275 mil glass of good beer for $10 or a full pint of Bud Light for $10?
Usually math out the alcohol percentage. Now, Bud Light is a pretty low one, so in that case, I would probably go with the very small, teeny 273 of a good beer. Because if I go to a pub and there's nothing that I like, I find the one that's the highest percentage and say I'll have a 16 ounce of that one. Even if it's the ridiculous IPA, because I just want to be able to feel something.
Okay. So you're going for the strength of it.
Yeah, I do strength math.
Okay.
Figure it out from that.
That makes sense. That's a bit like toilet paper math. Because the ply. There's no point in anyone trying to explain how that works. Because we've tried to do the math when they say 100 sheets here costs... whatever the hell it is, and you go down
$15, but 120 sheets at 3-ply or 75 sheets at 2-ply. Yeah. What?
I was like, where's your? They there ought to be some kind of graph or something on to help us, but they know that we don't have a slightest inkling of how it works. So they just throw all these numbers and figures and weights and measures and stuff.
I try to show my daughter grocery math all the time. She says, we should get this. And I said, yeah, but how much is in that versus the price? And look at this. You get more for less price based on the grams, like cereal boxes. Oh my goodness. Cereal boxes have become like a math exam. But speaking of math exam, Thunder Mug Stein, the big glass, the big mug, the Thunder Mug is apparently 33 fluid ounces. So that is two 16-ounce pint. Your regular pint, a British pint, a Canadian pint is 16 ounces.
Okay, so it's 500 mils approximately, which is a 20-ounce glass. I believe that's a standard pint. In fact, 550 mils is exactly a pint, a fluid pint, whatever it is. But then
33 fluid ounces is a liter. So you got a 1 liter beer.
Okay. Yeah.
In your big, huge, honking, heavy.
What's it called again? Thundermug.
I'll buy you a Thundermug. I bet they're valuable. The next time I'm there, I'll buy you a giant glass for four whole dollars.
Well, that sounds a bit like the things that my friend used to steal from German pubs when we lived there. Mm. He used to go in a jacket, much the same as this, with large sleeves, and pick up the glasses that the Germans sell their beers, and some of them are enormous. So that might be like the size of a wine bottle, and hide them up his sleeve. So he would walk out slightly weirdly past any.
You'd have to be pretty weird to fit one of those in your sleeve.
Yeah.
Here you are. I don't know why I'm telling you this, and maybe because this is a post from 12 years ago. Boston Pizza, Thunder Mug Thursday, 34 ounces of domestic draft only. $6.95.
Thank you very much. If it were that, was probably the answer I'm looking for. So would I want domestic beer, like what was that, 2 pints of it for $6.95, or a half a pint of decent ale, I'd probably go with the domestic for those prices. Probably.
If it's a 5.0 domestic, even if it's a Keith's.
Yeah.
Two pints of Keith's for $7.
What a change. Where was that at? Which restaurant?
Boston Pizza.
No way.
It was either Dooley's or Applewick's used to do this as well. They had a Thunder Mug night. But the thing is, I would go in and I'd say, oh, what's on tap? And they'd tell me. And then people would keep coming out with this Thunder Mug. And the Thunder Mug, it looked like it had tap water that someone had peed in a little, because the only thing that you could get in the Thunder Mug was the Coors Light, was the Bud Light. Mm-hmm. The only thing you could get in the Thunder Mug. Like, can I get the Propeller Galaxy IPA in that? No, sir, you definitely cannot. Don't even think about that.
Beer. You're not allowed the beer in the Thunder Mug.
No. We'll give you our tap water, but that's it.
I'm having this now to finish off. So let's see how this is again. This is the Pip Cheerio.
I think. Oh,
yeah. I like it. I really like it.
Nothing left but foam.
Because I've just had the other stuff that I'm not, that I think might be off. That tasted like a beer I just drank there from Pip Pip Cheerio.
Probably a good thing.
Yeah, it is.
Tasty.
Talking of Pip Pip Cheerio.
Ew.
Pip Cheerio.
He wasn't even wearing his bowler hat. Such a shame. Apologies to Hilltop Hops. I will reach out and we will hopefully be able to talk to the brewmaster and try some of their beers later on. But I want to thank Ian for joining me here tonight to try these two beers. And join us every week next week. We'll be back Tuesday night, 8 p.m. here on the Facebook Live of Drink NS Dry. And if you want to check out our site, it's drinkns.unsupervised.beer. Or you can find our podcast, Drink Nova Scotia Dry, on all the podcasty places. I think we're on Apple, Google, Spotify, and Amazon. I did add it to Amazon. But back weekly, and see you next week. Good night.